Thank you for coming to my website. On this 13th day of June, 2018, I want to apologize for not putting the next clip up, having a little technical difficulty. The piece that my friend Cliff is working on back in South Carolina that he sent to me for some reason, maybe because it came through the airways, is not farcing just right on my website. So it gave me an opportunity to break off this afternoon and to give you a little bit of my independent thinking mind here. Thank you so much for coming to the site. A little Gershwin in the background. My mother's favorite classical musician, and over the years has become mine. I just watched an interesting piece on my computer on inequality, a nice documentary, I guess, about in Kenya, a young 28-year-old man feeding his family from the trash dumps, and a black man in New York City, in Manhattan to be exact, etching out a living in a city of billionaires. Something to give thought to in this day and age we live in. I thought about my meager income that I have coming in that gives me life. And after I watched the documentary, I got up and I went to the refrigerator. And there was some frozen food there, and I took it out to thaw it out to make dinner with tonight. I'll probably go and buy some fresh vegetables to go with this meal and spend a few dollars. And when I think about the inequality, here I can choose the food that I eat, choose the store to go to. I can choose to wash my car or take it to the car wash. I'm rich in this world. But do I feel obligated to help my fellow man that is not as well off? And I'm not rich, to say the least. I earn no money. I just live off of a little stipends for Social Security. Where's the old man? Surviving in America, because he worked his whole life, paid taxes, did what he was supposed to do, and now he's reaping the benefits seen by he, her, and you. Yeah, so jump on Uncle Gershwin. Go on, George. Do it, do it, do it, do it. Yeah. Thank you. ask myself this question. Could I do more? Or am I contributing to the madness? I ask myself, do you feel, John, as close to God today as you did some 30 years ago? You know, I'm playing a lot of these tapes when I was a young man, and now I'm a senior citizen. Man, it seems as if the world just took one turn on its axis in one 24-hour period, and I woke up and I'm this young man full of vitality, living in this old decaying body of mine. I'm aching more than I ever have. I immediately try to sustain the pain level with narcotics, pills, you know, Tylenol, Advil, to try to delay it. I don't cry out to God. I don't ask Him to take the pain from me, because that would be facetious. I'm an old man. I'm supposed to feel this. When I think about older men from other cultures that doesn't have a little social security, wasn't able to stay in the house through a reverse mortgage, okay? That I fly my peace flag outside of my office window. The peace flag doesn't let you know that I'm barely hanging on. But it's good. I feel a difference in my body. There used to be a time when I would get up and I'd wash my car and detail it, put on some shorts and a tank top, and go to the beach and walk on the sand, maybe even take Hardcourt with me like I used to take Broman. I don't feel the need to want to do that these days. I don't. And the ocean, man, what a beautiful day in Los Angeles today. Just gorgeous. What am I doing working here in the office? John, why don't you have a few dollars, drive to the West Side and get a nice salad, some fresh cool water, a protein drink. Enjoy what life has given you. Hell, people, I'm going to tell you, there are people suffering out here. I just saw it on my computer, and it just ruined it for me. I can't do anything about it. You know, one of the things that it said is that New York City has more millionaires staying in that city, and that they throw out more garbage than an average country can produce in good edible food. And then when I think of famous so-called people killing themselves, who gorge themselves with food and luxury and all of that, God, that's bad. It's not a question of mental health here. It's almost that I'm thinking that everyone should be given a daily dosage of food. Well, this part of it I like this. Listen. Listen to that piano. That's Gershwin. It's beautiful music. Get a nice system where you can hear every note played. I may take this in the living room and listen to the whole thing again. da, 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 da. Yes. I remember that. My mother used to play this on a 78 record. Yes. Da, da, da. Some of his music: Rhapsody in Blue, An American in Paris, Porgy and Bess Suite. And to hear people like Bernstein, Levine, Shaham, and Previn, Andre Previn, play this. Listen to me. This particular piece is played by the Los Angeles Philharmonic Orchestra, conducted by Leonard Bernstein. He's on the piano and he's a conductor. I remember when Leonard Bernstein was alive. I recall someone came to me and said, "How can you listen to him? You know he's gay. I have you to know that some of the most talented people in the world are gay people. Listen to this gay man on the keyboard." This part of the Rhapsody is beautiful, the way Bernstein listen. Thank you.
ta ba da 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 ya ba ba da ba da ta.
Rum ba ta ta ya ba ta da ni na ba na mi na mi ta ni ta ba da ya na mi na ba.
Then the orchestra comes in. Check it out. Nothing like that. And you know, when you listen to Rhapsody in Blue, you cannot help but to think of New York City. No, I don't want to. I didn't want to go into that next cut. I really didn't. I didn't want to go into the next cut. But you cannot help but to think of New York City. And that next number coming up was called An American in Paris. George and Ira Gershwin are the authors of this brilliant music, truly American classical music, back in the 30s and the 40s when this was created. I'm going to play it in the living room later. And, you know, I just thought that I'd do a little musical thing because I'm frustrated trying to get, I was trying to convert that piece that Cliff sent to me. Cliff Jackson was a member of my congregation. He was one of the guys that was instrumental when I was a young pastor in filming and putting it out. If you see some of my clips on YouTube, Cliff and his brother Ricky Jackson were the TV guys. And they're up in age and living all over the place now. I want to play an unknown guy. I used to play him a lot, but I got away from playing Julius. He was also a gay artist. He has a great album series. I was able to pick it up at one of LA's nice record shops, and if you would really like to find out where to get some good recordings, some ancient recordings from some solid artists that's not at the top of the food chart when it comes to being popular, you go to www.newworldrecords.org. And they're in New York City, and this guy, Julius Eastman, if you just type him up in your browser, I think the last time I played a little bit of his music, I spoke about it. He hung out with a bunch of young white artists. He was black, as a matter of fact. Hung out with a bunch of white artists, and they accepted him, and rightly so, as a peer. He's a brilliant pianist. His life ended up tragically. He couldn't pay his rent in New York, and from what I understand from reading this, is that he died in poverty, and some people got together and scraped some of his music together, and he was a singer, a dancer, a performer, and very talented. I really hate the fact that I've never seen him perform. I would have loved it. What is it? Let me see. I want to read this correctly. It's a Julius Eastman performing his piano thing in 1968. 15th of December, 1968. And I'm going to play a number now. And some of you won't like it. You're going to turn it off. He says, oh, come on, John. Do something. I want to play a number that he wrote. And there's about three on this particular CD. One is called If You're So Smart, Why Aren't You Rich? Another one is Prelude to the Holy Presence of Joan d'Arc, which is interesting. I'm going to play the first cut on this particular album entitled Stay On It. On disc number two he has, and I want to share this, The Gay Gorilla, and one that's very controversial. The Gay Gorilla was written in 1980, and The Evil Nigger was written in 1979. Then he got one called Crazy Nigger that was written in 1980. I want you to listen to this. It's artistic, it's unique, it's different. And he died in poverty, didn't have very many friends, but the artistic community. Well, here's an interesting paragraph. Listen to what it says. None of Eastman's works can be said to have become well known. But the piece that remained most often associated with his name is the early one, such as Stay On It from 1973. This is the one that we're going to hear. Scored for voice, clarinet, two saxophones, violin, piano, mellow percussion for its date. It is truly a remarkable work. And then the writer says, keep in mind that at this time, Steve Rick, the producer, had produced, that is, the drumming, but not yet the music for 18 musicians. And so, looking at this, it says, secondly, there is nothing linear about Eastman's process. Has it been true for the millennialist music up to that point? He plays music of repetition, and I like it. And I like Stay On It because he admonishes me to stay on it. He admonishes me to keep on doing what I'm doing. Julius Eastman, Stay On It, from an album, Unjust Malaise. Thank you. am not going to play the whole piece because it's 24 minutes. And some of you are saying by now, John, have you lost your mind? No, no, no. Stay on it. When I clean the house, when I work around the house, I like to listen to Julius. It's interesting. I'm reading some of the album cover again, and I want to read it for some of you because, see, you would rather me play a little Aretha Franklin, somebody like that. No, this guy is brilliant. Listen, in January of 1991, this was published in the Village Vanguard, an obituary to a composer who had died at 49 years of age the previous month of May. Active as he had been on the music scene in the 1980s, none of his closest associates on the scene knew that he had already been dead for 8 months. And this writer says that when I called around for comments, some were skeptical of my news because rumors of his death had circulated before. Such was the particular life of Julius Eastman and its tragic, mysterious, and somewhat logical end. Julius Eastman, born in 1940, I was born 4 years later. So we were contemporaries. Died in 1990 when I was at the fever pitch high of my pastoral career. Was a taunt, wiry, gay, African-American man who had such an appearance of athleticism. He was kind of a wiry man, kind of thin, pent-up energy that could look dangerous, yet he had a gentle sense of humor in his deep voice with his slight figure conveyed the solemn authority of a prophet. He was a wiry, fiery pianist and a singer and a performer, range of power. In 1970, he gave his American premiere at Aspen. So he's been around. Julius Eastman. I'm not going to play the whole thing. As a matter of fact, I'm going to end the webcast with Julius. I just wanted you to listen to a little George and Ira Gershwin, and then to a black artist and composer. Makes a difference, doesn't it? When the balance is there, you may not like Julius and what he does. He's not heard of, obviously. To a lot of people, it sounds like a bunch of racket, a bunch of noise. But that's all right. That's what they said of my preaching. Oh, John is just making noise out there. No one is listening. I'm going to do as the song admonishes me. I'm going to stay on it. And look, it's only halfway. This piece is only halfway finished. Yes, he wrote music. He wrote all of his music. He wrote the parts for each instrument. Listen.